Good morning. Last week we considered the conversion of the woman at the well. Today, we consider the conversion of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son is one of the most well-known and much-loved stories of the Bible. In order to properly understand and appreciate the meaning of this parable and its message of conversion, it's important to recall the background of this parable that Jesus told. The setting of the parable is provided for us in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, where we find the Pharisees and the scribes deriding Jesus for receiving and eating with sinners. These Jewish religious leaders of the first century did not think it was appropriate for Jesus, the Son of God, to be interacting with such ungodly persons. It is this accusation by the Pharisees and the scribes that set the stage for the three parables that Jesus told, and of course the third being the parable of the prodigal son. My friends, as you look at the wider context, you will realize that the parables Jesus told have one central meaning. So Jesus was really saying that like a lost sheep, like a lost coin, and a lost son, lost people matter to God. Friends, the truth is, once a person has not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, trusting Him for salvation alone, they are in a state of eternal lostness apart from God. The parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, whichever you prefer, that's the parable I draw your attention to this morning. This parable is naturally divided into two parts. The first part focuses on the younger son, and the second part focuses on the older son. I am focusing on the younger son, and in particular, as you look at that story, that parable that Jesus told, you recognize that it is further divided naturally into three parts. The first section on the younger son, we see him making a decision to willfully depart from a loving parent and a good home. We see this as a picture of the willful departure of the sinner from God. Then there is a prodigal return, portraying for us the sinner's conversion. And then, after that, we see the scripture painting a vivid picture of the reception of the prodigal son. Let me read a part of the parable for us. Luke 15, 17 through to 20 says, quote, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." End quote. What lessons about conversion can we learn from the parable of the prodigal son? Well, first of all, we see the son away from the father's house because of a decision that he made. That could help us to understand, my friend, that the sinner in his pre-conversion state have something to teach us. That in a real sense, to be unconverted is to be away from the father's house. It is to be in rebellion against God. It is to be cut off from the very life of God. And it is to be a state in which we are objects of God's wrath. My friends, this condition is worse than a person, quote, sucking salt through a wooden spoon. This person in his pre-conversion state is doomed. Well, we are told that the son was in a far country. When a person is unconverted, they are far away from God. And we are told that the son wasted his wealth, unquote, righteous living. And he soon began to be in need. So, far away from home, And with no restraint, he had zero bank balance, and he was forced to find a job. Perhaps he couldn't find a job in the BPO sector. The only thing he could find is a job to feed pigs. And we're told that he longed to fill his stomach with the very things the pig was eating. Friends, with God's wrath hanging over our heads because of original sin and our constant rebellion against God, you and I are in a terrible position once we are away from God. Jesus tells us in the parable that this young man, quote, came to his senses. Friends, clearly he began to think. You see, to continue or to persist in a life of sin is to be out of your mind because God finds sin completely offensive. Now, you and I might wink at sin, we might laugh at sin, we might excuse sin, but God finds sin completely offensive. And when we sin against God, we are out of our mind. My friends, God can put you in a situation or an experience where you experience hurt or disappointment, failures, material lack, disaster, disease, even death of someone close to you that can get you in a situation or a position where you have to think and even come to your senses. The fact is, God is always trying to get our attention. The truth is that sometimes the pleasures of sin is so sweet to the sinner that they don't even want to stop to think of how far they have gone. Friend, how far have you gone since your Sunday school days? If you're a Christian, you should not get tired of sharing the gospel with others. It is the power of God unto salvation. And when the Holy Spirit uses your own faithful witness in the life of a person, they can come to their senses and come back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The son began to think. He came to his senses and he made a plan to go back to the father. He even crafted a speech. Thankfully, he didn't just decide to go back home. He actually did it. Friend, being tired of a life of sin is not enough. You need to do something about it. You need to get up and go back to the Father. I'm not just talking about going back to church, as important as that is after COVID. I'm talking about this yearning that you feel in your heart for God, this yearning that you feel in your heart to leave a life of sin. Come to your senses before your senses are unquenchable before the fires of hell. The truth is, my friends, you don't want a lifetime of eternal regret. God wants you to come back to a relationship with him. Tell God you're sorry about your life of sin and that you want Jesus to change you. Friends, take note of the lesson we can learn about the Father's love for the lost son. It's interesting to note that the Father appears to be eagerly watching and anticipating his son's return. As the text puts it, quote, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, end quote, verse 20. Similarly, God greatly desires for us to repent of our sins and return to him. God loves humankind so much, you and I, my friends, all the people of the world, that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Furthermore, we're told that he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes you, my friends. Whatever you believe today, he's calling you to come to him. There is only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And he desires for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And he has given proof of this by raising Jesus from the dead. No wonder Stuart Townsend puts it this way in his song. Quote, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Friend, when you come to Jesus and you repent of your sins, he instantly forgives you and welcomes you back into the fold, celebrating your return. You know, man does not treat us like God does, because our friends hold on to the things we have done wrong. But when we come to God and we ask him for forgiveness, he throws those sins away into the sea of forgetfulness. He wipes the slate clean, and he pronounces that we are children of God. Friends, the Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. The prodigal son was dead before, not because he had literally passed away into the next life, but his soul was dead to God. And now, through returning to God's love, he has been ensured by God that his soul was in a right place and that he would know what it is to live forever. Friends, I want you to know that lost people matter to God, that the Father is waiting to welcome you back home into a right relationship with him. Aren't you tired of the weight of your sin? Today, you can have a little talk with Jesus. You can tell him all about your troubles. You can experience the joy of God's forgiveness, coming back to God, leaving a life of sin, and coming to your senses. Next week, we consider another conversion story from the Word of God.